Montgomery, Joba, Suffolk County. This is BeelPod.com coming to you from our makeshift studios overlooking lovely Gardner's Bay. Today is Thursday, the 9th of August, 2012. On this date, in 586 BC, the Babylonians, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed Solomon's Temple, or the First Temple, as it's known. This created the first Babylonian exile that led to Georgia's Jews coming to Georgia. No dreidels for them. And, coincidentally, also on this date in 70 AD was the Jewish revolt against the Romans that caused the Roman general Titus, who later became Caesar, to besiege the city of Jerusalem. The Second Temple was completely destroyed by fire on this date in 70 AD, leading to the 2,000-year exile of the rest of the Jews, the Sephardim, Ashkenazi, etc. Moving over to Jesus dying for our sins, on this date in 1483 was the opening of the Sistine Chapel in Rome, and in 1854, Henry David Thoreau published Walden. In 1936, at the Summer Olympic Games in Berlin, Jesse Owens won his fourth gold medal, becoming the first American to win four Olympics in one Olympiad, and annoying the Fuhrer and his Aryan superiority fetish. In 1944 was the Vyborg Perozavodsk Offensive, the largest offensive launched by the Soviet Union against Finland during the Second World War. It ended in a strategic stalemate. Both the Finnish and Soviet troops at the Finnish front dug in defensive positions, and the front remained stable until the end of the war. Note Vladimir Putin's recent comments about how Finland should stop talking about NATO so much. Obviously, he was not a history major. In 1965, Singapore was expelled from Malaysia and became the first and only country to date to gain independence unwillingly. Malaysians are regretting that, by the way, so periodically tell the Singaporeans that they're going to withhold water. In 1974, due to the Watergate scandal, Richard Nixon became the first president of the United States to resign from office. His vice president, Gerald Ford, became president and then pardoned him. No Cameron or Matias today, only me. Sorry about that. My Kvitis Politor story this week is about the Penn Charter. For those of you who don't know, Pennsylvania was given to William Penn in the late 1600s so that he could get the Quakers out of the UK, even though they weren't really doing anything wrong. So Penn drafted the Royal Charter in such a way that it guaranteed, by law, complete religious freedom, which in turn made Philadelphia, 50 years later, the biggest and most prosperous city in Britain's American colonies. Which, considering the number of Iranians in Georgia opening businesses, in part they are fleeing theocracy in the South, is a chapter of history worthy of study by Georgian policymakers. So, 4 years have passed since the 2008 war with Russia, which began in South Ossetia on the 7th of August. At least that's when it was announced by the Russian media, although there had been quite a bit of shelling going on before that in the Georgian villages. Each side still denies responsibility for the beginning of the conflict, which resulted in the deaths of 224 civilians and 171 soldiers on the Georgian side. More than 150,000 Georgians became IDPs as a direct result of this conflict. You can see some of their shelters on the way to Gori. If you look to the right, by the way, I would encourage those of you who tend to take a look at some of Human Rights Watch aerial photography looking at the ethnic cleansing that went on there and what happened to the Georgian villages, many of which are now plowed under. After the conflict, Georgia recognized the sovereignty of the de facto colonies in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The Russian Prime Minister arrived in Skhinvali, the de facto capital of South Ossetia, to commemorate the anniversary of the war this year. He met with South Ossetian leader Leonid Tabilov, who thanked Medvedev for his timely decision 4 years ago to force the aggressor to peace, end quote. Misha said that although Georgia did not win the August War, Russia did not win anything either. He added that, quote, the Soviet dream is still alive in Moscow. They have a new plan for Georgia, the breaking of Georgia from within. They have decided that it will be better to subdue Georgia with the hands of Georgians themselves. Putin's new plan is based on the assumption that Georgia will get tired of Georgians will get tired of resisting, end quote. Political parties suspended their election campaigns on August 7th and 8th to commemorate the anniversary of the war. Georgian Dream joined in this, even though it was initiated by the ruling party. A couple of words about this war. I was just having a conversation about this morning, and somebody said, so what's the, somebody who didn't really know very much about it said, what's the story? I said, look, it was definitely unjust what Russia did. Anyone who believes that the Russians were, you know, in there to protect the Ossetians is that's silly. And Georgia, I think there had been sufficient provocation that it was just what Georgia did. Whether or not it was a smart thing to do or not is another question. And I would have to say that you know, the Russians wanted war, and that's often difficult for Americans to understand. That Russia's policy in much of the Caucasus is to promote instability, and that the Russians wanted a conflict, which they got, and then have used to their ends. The other thing I'd say is that, you know, when there is ethnic cleansing, whoever ethnically cleanses is usually the bad guy, and there was definitely ethnic cleansing in that case. The Deputy Chief of Russian General Staff, Colonel General Alexander Postnikov, asserted on August 7th that Russia's military exercises, Kavkaz 2012, scheduled for September, do not pose a threat to other countries in the region. He said that the drills will be held on the territory of the Russian Federation and will not involve units from military bases in Armenia, South Ossetia, or Abkhazia to prevent additional tensions in the neighborhood. Well, that's big of them. 5 days earlier, on the 2nd of August, Republican Congressman Chris Smith, who chairs the U.S. Helsinki Commission, called the planned exercise a crude intimidation stunt and said that Russia should cancel them. Yes, indeed. BT's Channel 9 had to apologize, and pro-government Imedi TV's journalist Kedi Kashakashvili had to resign over a report that the Russian military entered Georgia in August 2008 legally. On Wednesday, Channel 9 made this report, sparking a flurry of Facebook annoyance. Several hours later, the channel called this a mistake and announced that they had used a text prepared by the GHN news agency. On Thursday, news broke that Imedi TV's Kashakashvili made the same mistake in a live report that morning. Mate Kirvalidze, head of Imedi's TV news program, told Interpress News that Kashakashvili decided to leave the channel of her own volition. No apology was made by Imedi. The CEC has registered 3,621,256 voters. This is the largest number of voters in any election since 1990. This is also 80% of the total population of Georgia, which was about 4.5 million as of January 1st, 2012, according to Geostat. This comment from Cameron. This means that's Cameron Christensen, not David Cameron. This means we can assume that only 20% of the population is under 18 if the voters list is accurate. The percentage of voters compared to the total population would be even larger if there are still people unregistered, or smaller if the list is totally off and there are dead people listed or double entries. Basically, 80% of the total population on the voters list seems very high. Yes, as noted by several people. In a letter to the Wall Street Journal, leader of the Georgian Dream Coalition, Bidzina Ivanishvili, attacked both President Saakashvili's Cold War-era rhetoric in his comments about Russia, as well as the government's authoritarian policies. What's needed, Bidzina said, is democracy, the creation of a functioning civil society, and the admission that we, meaning Russia and Georgia, have both made some mistakes, end quote. He said he will bring all of these things to the government if elected on October 1st. If not, he brashly asserts the Caucasus could boil over into sectarian conflicts like those in Syria. Strong words. At a large street rally in Batumi on August 5th, Bidzina reiterated Georgia Dream's key priorities: agricultural development, social protection, and health care. According to civil.ge, the coalition plans its next large-scale outdoor campaign rally in Rustavi on the 19th of August. Notice, last week we mentioned GDRI, which is Bidzina Ivanishvili's think tank that had their bank account frozen at Progress Bank. It was taken over or frozen or something like that. Here is their mission statement, and I quote, Established in 2011, the Georgian Development Research Institute, GDRI, is an independent nonprofit policy think tank dedicated to helping improve public policy decision-making in Georgia through research and analysis and public education about the strategic issues, both domestic and international, facing Georgia. GDRI activities are aimed at promoting democracy and fostering political, economic, and social reforms. Let me quote from another, and I quote, "Established in 1998, the Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, GFSIS, is an independent nonprofit policy think tank dedicated to helping improve public policy decision-making in Georgia through research and analysis, and public education about the strategic issues, both domestic and international, facing Georgia and the Caucasus in the 21st century. GFSIS activities are aimed at promoting democracy and fostering political and economic reforms. The big difference is that GDRI got rid of social reforms and added the Caucasus." But that kind of blatant copying is cause for great social derision in the rest of the world, just so you know. So, you know, next time, don't do that. Another thing to mention this time around was that the list of stations that will, the list of stations that will be given free airtime on terrestrial licenses has come out. There's quite a number of parties in there. And there's the usual tussle with the independent stations and cities that don't want to show the free airtime, but there's been a fairly reasonable decision to say that this time around they have to do it. At a large street rally in Batumi on August 5th, Bidzina reiterated Georgian Dream's key priorities: agriculture, development, social protection, healthcare. And so Rustavi on August 9th, sorry about the repeat there. Georgia Dreams, Otsneva's spokesperson Maya Panjikidze, said that if the October 1st parliamentary election is rigged, they will take to the streets and protest. This is something the ruling party worries about a great deal, and there's been much discussion about as to whether or not the results will be accepted, whatever they may be. At a briefing on Thursday, Nino Borjanadze, the former Speaker of Parliament, said that her party, Democratic Movement United Georgia, will not take part in the October 1st elections. She stated this is neither a boycott nor the end of their fight, according to Tribuna. Borjanadze calls on people to cast their ballots, which is just weird. By the way, I have no idea who Tribuna is. I guess it's somebody who reports on Nino Borjanadze, which thankfully nobody else is. But I'm sure part of their calculation in not running in the elections is that their popular support, last time I checked, was below 2%. Bidzina-owned Channel 9 broadcast Mormon Dumbadze, Georgian Dream's majoritarian MP candidate in Batumi, telling a group of locals that they should neither read nor circle the number 5, that UNM's number on the ballot paper, because those who do so with their right hand will get cancer, and those who do so with their left hand will become infected. Dumbadze is running in Batumi's single-mandate constituency. He was kicked out of the Republican Party some time back, but still given the majoritarian slot, candidacy slot by Otsneva. There was a minor confrontation that took place between Misha and Bidzina supporters as they arrived at the same time in a small resort in Ajada called Beshumi. Bidzina's Georgian Dream announced on the 6th of August that they would join the political party's 17-point code of conduct that has been championed by Gaila and the hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia. Disclosure, I'm the chair. For those of you who have not read it, check it out. The ruling party introduced three majoritarian MP candidates: Koba Nakopia, acting majoritarian MP in Bolnisi district. He'll run in Bolnisi. Kaha Okriashvili for Dumanisi. David Bejuashvili, current majoritarian MP for UNM, who will run for Tetritskaro municipality. For those of you who don't know, Nakopia is a very rich businessman who's funded the movie 5 Days in August about the August War, and is also the government's go-to guy for dealing with mining stuff. Dato Bejuashvili is also a very wealthy business person. On August 1st, the election for the 18-member Supreme Council of Ajaro will be conducted alongside the parliamentary elections. Only 11 independent candidates will be running for majoritarian MP seats in the October 1st parliamentary election, according to the Central Elections Commission. The synod is divided into supporters of Saakashvili and Ivanishvili, claims excommunicated Orthodox priest Wacko Basil Mkalivishvili. In an interview with Sairto Gazeti newspaper, never heard of Sairto Gazeti. Does anybody read, of our listeners, has anybody ever read Sairto Gazeti? The former Mama Basil, who is notorious for violent attacks against religious minorities, thinks that decent representatives of the church church support Bidzina. While the sinful bishops are supportive of Saakashvili, further he claims that immoral people, like, you know, for example, gays or lesbians, will support the current government who need their votes to win. Wow. TS Press reports that fuel is not meeting European standards. It's being sold in Georgia. Officially, fuel in Georgia must comply with European standards, meaning it cannot have any lead in it. According to Obvious Service, oil products testing lab, the samples from all of the different stations had had lead in there. And so they have said that it does not meet European standards. This is a big issue. The lead, they cut out catalytic converters of all the cars that are imported into Georgia. They just get rid of them because the lead would destroy them anyway. And at least I've heard that in the United States, when they got rid of lead in the gasoline, there was a noticeable increase in the average IQ. The largest low-cost carrier in Central Eastern Europe, Wizz Air, announced in June that it would begin three weekly flights between Kutaisi and Kiev starting in September. Flights costs will start around $28. This is exciting for tour agencies, but there's worry that Kutaisi doesn't have the infrastructure to handle them, although probably a lot of them will go to Batumi or Tbilisi. Also, probably a lot of them will be Kurds traveling in and out of Eastern Turkey. Geostat reports that Georgia's July inflation rate was 0.6% after five consecutive months of deflation. Last month, a 0.9% deflation rate was recorded. On Friday, Misha participated in the groundbreaking ceremony of a four-star hotel in Batumi. Orbi Group, a development company, is carrying out the project. Tbilisi City Hall reports that Austria's Resid Holding will invest up to $45 million in a multifunctional complex in Sabratalo that will, in district of Tbilisi, that will be finished by 2015. Fitch upgraded Liberty Bank's viability rating from B- to B and affirmed its long-term issuer default rating at B with a stable outlook. The agency also affirmed VTB Bank Georgia's long-term issuer default rating at BB with a stable outlook. Georgian Ministry of Foreign Affairs report that for security reasons related to Tehran's plans to host the Non-Aligned Movement Summit on August 26th, the 31st, Iran is suspending visa-free travel for Georgian citizens starting August 5th until the end of the month. After 2 days of a search operation, the Emergency Management Department of the Ministry of Internal Affairs rescued four Russian alpinists from Mount Tetnaudi in Svaneti. Manochar Skhadaya, 27, won a bronze medal in the men's 66-kilo Greco-Roman wrestling at the Olympic Games on August 7th. Now Georgia has three medals since Lasha Shavdatuashvili captured the gold in the men's under 66-kilo judo on the 29th of July, and Revaz Lashki received the silver on August 6th in the men's 60-kilo Greco-Roman wrestling. By the way, not that anybody's counting or anything, but Georgia, in terms of, you know, per capita medal count, is doing incredibly well, beating, you know, Turkey and Argentina and a bunch of other much bigger countries. Georgian judoist Betkil Shukvani, who was unsuccessful at the London Olympics, claimed on Thursday that government officials put pressure on him because he wanted to dedicate his Olympic performance to Bidzina's Georgian dream. Yeah. Okay, and this from our forum. from Sephiakarta, and I quote, "Oh, by the way, if you want to know what's going on in Abkhazia, I very much recommend following him on Twitter. It's always interesting stuff and things that others aren't so much talking about. Anyway, he reports, and I quote, "RE, Abkhazia's plan to increase the number of border crossings with Georgia that we mentioned last week." Sorry, here's where the quote starts. "I think the current situation is that for many locals, going through the main border crossing requires a big detour. Consequently, a significant number of people cross the border illegally. An increase in the number of border crossings therefore makes things easier for the locals, and it enhances Abkhazia's border security," end quote. Remember, when we say border, we mean administrative boundary. So the question is, why were they building another border crossing, not the regular Gali one? So that's interesting to know. His Twitter handle again is at Sierra Echo Papa Hotel India Alpha Kilo Alpha Romeo Tango Alpha. Highly recommended. And that said, anyone who ever wants to send us in anything via email or any other method, we will never name sources unless you tell us we can or you post on our forum with your name there. Behind the scenes in the massive effort that is Tabilpod.com, for many months we have had Mariam Naskhidashvili laboring away, putting up stories, keeping us informed about things, and sending out emails so that you know when the new one is posted. Sadly, this will be her last podcast. She has been granted a fellowship at Oxford University in the UK. We'll miss her. Hope she listens and continue to keep us updated with what is happening in the UK related to Georgia. Kolga Movies this coming Friday at Dom Kino. Across from Rustaveli, all shows start at 8 o'clock, is Caramel, which is a Lebanese movie, 2007. That is tomorrow night. I've heard it's great. Departures, Japanese movie from 2008, is on Monday, August 13th. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod, tblpod@gmail.com, or post on this forum on our website, which is tblpod, tblpod.com. And we will finish with the Traveling Wilburys in 1990. This is She's My Baby.
Neighbor.